encourage you to find your outline in your bulletin, and we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been looking at various parts of this book for quite a while, and yet there's a lot in this book for us to still learn and to know and to grow in relationship to Christ. So my prayer is that it'll be helpful. I want to encourage you today, even though the specific topic that this passage talks about has a specific focus, the principles are helpful for all of us in all of our Christian journey. So I hope that you'll apply those principles that I may specifically talk about parents and children, and ask God to help you see ways that this could fit into your life as well. Isn't it true that God's Word applies to all of us? Even the passages we don't, we don't specifically think about. So I want you to think about it in those terms. Because I've entitled today's message, Follow God's Plan for Children and Parents. And Ephesians 6 is a familiar passage to us. In fact, I'll probably be on this 2 or 3 weeks. Next week's Mother's Day, so we'll have it. Anyway, let me read it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And there's more in that section. Well, think about this. It began by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In a sense, are we all children? We're children of God, and so in that sense it applies to us, but especially children. So, let's just think about that. But I want you to notice what it says. Children, obey your parents how? In the Lord, in this relationship to the Lord. To fulfill this passage of Scripture, and in fact all Scripture, I need Jesus to help me do that. I need to allow Him to be in my life. So if you're writing in on your notes, the first thing you write in is, parents and children need to be in the Lord. Parents and children need to be in the Lord. And I'll talk more about those relationships as I go. But think about this for a minute. In order to fulfill this instruction from God, we need to be in the Lord. That's true of all Scripture. You realize that what God outlines for us in the Bible is possible only by faith in Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you take the Bible and try to live it without being a believer in Jesus, you're going to have difficulty. Because the principles and the guidelines in Scripture require the power of God's Spirit to work in us. And so, this truth applies to all of us. We all need to be in the Lord. Let me read the Scripture passage that's on your notes there. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Who is the natural man in this Scripture? Who is the natural person? Anybody who doesn't know Jesus. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you're a criminal. Doesn't mean you're immoral. It just means you're just walking in the natural flesh. And in order to fulfill that, he said that the natural person does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. We don't see that they'll make sense to us. So in order for us to discern the truth of this and to live it out, I need the Spirit of God in my life. I need to know Jesus. He says that the human man, mind without Christ, doesn't know them because they're spiritually discerned. And so if we're to fulfill this passage of Scripture, we need to be in Jesus. We need to be in the Lord. And so my prayer is that we'll say, God, help me to be sure I'm in the Lord. The next part of this ties into that, so let me go ahead and think about it. Take steps to be in the Lord. If being in the Lord is essential, then I want to do that very thing. I'm going to take steps to be sure I'm in the Lord. So, the first thing is, if I'm to be in the Lord, I need to receive Jesus as Savior. I know this is probably common and familiar to us, but how else can I be in the Lord? Can I be in the Lord because I attend a worship service? By itself. Can I be in the Lord just because I'm baptized in water? Not by itself. Can I be in the Lord because I keep the Ten Commandments by itself? I need Jesus. In order to be in the Lord, I need to have the Lord in my life. And I think we all agree with that. But if I'm to obey my parents in the Lord, and the parents are functioning, they need to be in the Lord, which means receive Jesus as Savior. The Scripture said, in Him, talking about Jesus, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with Holy Spirit of promise. That's what He said. After listening to the message of truth. What's the message of truth? It's God's Word. It's Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's Jesus who came, lived, died, rose again, ascended to heaven, coming back. It's that truth, that basic truth. There's a lot of others in Scripture. But He said, you listen to the message of the truth. Is it possible that you don't even listen to the message? You ever turn your ears off before you hear something? So we need to have an openness in our spirit. Say, God, I want to hear your message of truth. I want you to speak to me. But He said also, you hear the message of the truth. You listen to it with your open heart. The gospel of salvation, the truth about Jesus. Then it said, having also believed, you received, you believed, you welcomed Him into your life. Many of you have done that. You'd say today, I'm a child of God. I've been saved. I belong to Jesus. So if you do, you're in Christ. If you haven't, that's where you need to start. Asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and confessing that you need Him and begin that relationship with Christ. But notice what He said. When I believe in Him, I'm what? I seal with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a mark, there's an identification of me with the Lord Jesus. And so to be in the Lord and to fulfill all of Scripture, especially this one, I need to be received Christ. The second thing about being in the Lord is consistently live in obedience to our Savior. If I'm to take steps to be in the Lord, I receive Him first of all, and I know I belong to Him. Many of us already know that, and we also know this thought too. Secondly, I consistently live in obedience to our Savior. To be in the Lord means I want to live out the relationship to Jesus. It's wonderful to know that we're born again. It's wonderful to know we belong to Jesus. But it's more wonderful, I'm not saying more, maybe more in the right word. It is also wonderful to continue to walk with Him, to live with Him, to let Him walk in our life. So let me read this scripture passage on your notes. Well, this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. When you become a child of God, you're saved, you begin the Christian journey, are you mature? Is there still a lot of room to grow? Is there still a lot of things you need to learn about the Lord and about living that out? Yeah. Some of you have been Christians 50, 60 years or longer. You still learning? You still discovering things He wants you to do? Yeah, we still are. And I want to be in obedience to that. He prayed, the scripture passage said, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. In spiritual wisdom and understanding, that God would fill us and instruct us more and more and more. That means I open the book called the Bible and I read it and say, God, what do you want me to get out of this? What can I do with this? What do you want me to receive from this? He said, so that you what? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You live a lifestyle that gives great honor to Jesus. I like what you've heard this comment before. I like trying to live in such a way that when somebody finds out I'm a Christian, they're not surprised. They see enough in me that they recognize something's different and they're not surprised that we have Jesus in our life. So we live in a manner worthy of the Lord. This is, we're kind, we're loving, we're considerate, we're honest, all those characteristics. But we have a devotion to God to please Him in everything. That's my desire, is to please Him in everything. Everything. Every activity, every event, every emotion, every place I go, every place I spend my money, everything. Bearing fruit in every good work, increasing the knowledge of God. So if I'm to be in the Lord, if children obey their parents in the Lord, it means that they are, first of all, in the Lord because of faith in Christ. Secondly, they're living it out. We are well aware that as parents and as adults, because there are kids watching us too, right? We may not have little kids in our home, but are there kids around us? There are kids here, there are kids out around. They're watching us, and they're watching what we do. Because you know as well as I do, they don't buy the fact is, do as I say, not as I do. They don't work very good. So I want to be living godly. all the time, bearing fruit in every good work. Because when I do that, then I can ask my children or other children to obey me, to follow me, because I'm walking in the Lord myself. There was a pastor who was asking a Sunday school class about why they loved God and how they knew that they loved God. And they gave a lot of answers, these Sunday school kids. But one little boy said, "I guess it just runs in our family." That's pretty good. It's just running the way we live day by day. So, I'm saying I want to take those steps to be in the Lord. Along with that, the next thing is follow Jesus' example of obeying parents. Follow Jesus' example of obeying parents. We're familiar with this scripture. So let me read it. Talking about Jesus. And you're familiar with the setting. This is where Jesus was in the temple. They hadn't found him for 3 days, if you remember the account. And Mary's sort of chiding him, "What are you doing? Where you been? What are you doing this for?" And he said, "Don't you know I've been to God's, my Father's house?" But after all of that, this is what it says about Jesus. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart." Now, who is Jesus? He's the perfect Son of God, perfectly human as well, but he's still God. And the Bible says he goes down to his, and he is what? In subjection to his parents. Can you imagine Jesus, the Almighty God, the Savior of the world, is a little babe, as a boy, 12 years old in this case, approximately, saying, "I'm going to obey my parents." That's a pretty good example. If he had to do it, guess what? I guess we need to do it too. And ultimately, it means obeying our Father as well. But Jesus obeyed those parents. And I notice the scripture says his mother treasured all these things in her heart. She thought about all that. But what I'm suggesting is, when we talk about this matter of following God's plan for children and parents and obeying children obeying their parents, it's because Jesus did it himself. On the other side of your notes, another aspect of this, obey parents because we want to please the Lord. Obey parents because we want to please the Lord. Is that a good motivation? Is that a good motivation to obey God, our Father, our Heavenly Father? The Scripture says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." That's good motivation enough to obey parents, because it makes God happy. And if I make God happy, am I going to have a happy life? Somebody looking at me. If I make God happy, am I going to be happy too? I'm going to be happy. I'm going to enjoy it. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it always goes the way I want it. But I'm going to have a better quality of life if I please the Lord in this relationship. So when I obey parents, as God called me to do, I am able to please the Lord in the process. Is that true for us as Christians? Can you make God happy? I think there's a place in Scripture that talks about God being pleased with us. And if we make God happy as a child of God, we're on the right track. And so, as I said, these principles apply both ways. I want to please the Lord. I hope that our desire and your desire is to please God above all else. I like what somebody said. If you don't please God, it doesn't matter who else you please. It's true. So, I obey parents because I want to please the Lord. Another part of this is, the next area is rejoice that your parents, that you have parents who are in the Lord. If you're a young person, you have parents who belong to Jesus, you need to rejoice that you have parents who love Jesus. Some of us are too old to, I won't say how old we are, but anyway. Parents who are in the Lord are a blessing. Now, sometimes when we're younger, we don't like them, because they set in rules and restrictions And they have some things that we, as younger life, we want to do it our way. When our parents say, no, we don't like that. But if you have a parent, a father or a mother or both, which some of us have had that privilege, some of you may not have had that privilege, and I'm sorry that you didn't have that privilege. But if you have parents who love Jesus, who are in the Lord, I need to rejoice that they're that way. I'm grateful personally that my dad and mom knew Jesus. I'm grateful that my grandparents knew Jesus. I am where I am today partly because of who they were and because they loved Jesus. I have a better quality of life because I had parents who loved me and who loved Jesus. So, young people, if you got a parent who loves Jesus, thank God that you got a parent who loves Jesus. Because they're going to give you good advice and good direction because they're seeking to follow Jesus. Does that mean they won't ever goof up? No. Does that mean you won't have to apologize now and then as a parent? No. I've mentioned to you before, I had to apologize to all my kids. I tried to be right, but I remember, as a pastor, I was busy doing, quote, the Lord's work. And sometimes I was too busy to do the Lord's work to do what I needed to do with my kids. And I had to apologize to them that I was wrong. That's true, though. You can get so busy doing things for the Lord that you don't have time for the Lord or for your family. And so I'm grateful that they forgave me, as far as I know. But I'm grateful that out of this heritage, many of you have Christian heritage. I know several of you do. And I'm so grateful. So let me say to you today, if you have a parent who loves Jesus, who's trying to serve the Lord, be glad for that. Let me read the scripture passage. He says, "For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well." Paul writing about Timothy. He said you had a grandmother and a mother who loved Jesus. Timothy is in them. He's a part of that heritage. Listen, aren't you glad you have a Christian heritage? Aren't you glad you belong to Jesus? And there's people who pointed you. Sometimes we may not have parents who pointed us to Jesus, but we've had other friends who have pointed us to Jesus. Sometimes other people, other adults, other seniors. Let me suggest to you as an adult, if you see young people who may not have Christian parents, can you be a substitute for them if you want to? Can you step in sometimes and encourage them in the things of Jesus, even though their parents might not be in Jesus? You can be that for them, and they need that. Sometimes, I remember, it's not so much, I guess, anymore, but where I grew up, it didn't matter whose child you were. If you were in the community or in a group meeting, somebody besides your parents might correct you. If you do that today, you probably get in trouble. But I remember those times. We didn't step out of line partly because not only was my dad and mom watching me, but my other people that knew me were watching me too. And it helped me. So we can be that for one another. That's what I'm suggesting. Because it's good that parents are in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you're in the Lord, be glad you're in the Lord. I'm glad I belong to Jesus. I'm glad He saved me. I'm glad for the difference it makes in my life. And I'm glad to be in the Lord. The good news is when you're in the Lord, it's the Lord's in you as well, right? He lives in us to help us to be the things we ought to be. The last thing on your notes, several things about that I want to think about for a minute. Obeying parents is right. I'm going to suggest some reasons what for. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is good. It is beneficial." I'm going to suggest some ways which it is right in the next three areas that are on your notes. Obeying parents is right for the child. For the child. He said, "My son, observe the commandments of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for the discipline are the discipline are the way of life. For disciplines. Now, I want you to notice this. He says, if I listen to the instructions of my parents, particularly godly parents, he said, if I listen to them, in fact, it's interesting how he talked about this. You do what? You bind them on your heart. You believe them. You receive them. You tie them around your neck so you're remembering them. What does it say about them? They'll do what? They will guide you. They will guide you. I'm grateful for godly advice that parents give for their children. And if we listen to them, children, if we pay attention to their obeying them, it's good for you. As I said earlier, you don't always think it's good for you. Sometimes you want to do it your way. But you discover when you grow up that it was good for you. I remember, I guess I'm getting old and reminiscing, but anyway, when my children, as I grew up, one of the things that they would ask me about, could they do certain things, and of course, as they grew up, it changed. I remember as they got into high school, in the latter part of high school, they'd say, Dad, can I do so-and-so? And I would say, it's between you and Jesus. You need to think about it. What does Jesus want you to do? And they didn't like that at the moment. Now they told me they liked the fact that I told them, it's between you and Jesus. You need to evaluate between you and Jesus. Because they discovered it was good for them to think it through and to think about it and pray about it. But I'm going to suggest that when children obey parents, it is good for the children. Notice it says it will guide you. It says when you sleep, they will watch over you. What a thought. The instructions from parents who love you, even non-Christian parents who love you and give you good instructions, says they'll watch over you at night. That means you can lay down and sleep and know you're going to be taken care of because you got good things going to your mind. By the way, do you ever go to bed at night, think about something, and then wake up in the morning and discover God talked to you through the night and you didn't know He was talking to you? You get insights. You get understanding. And certain truths that were going through your mind began to sort of come together. And so he talks about that. They'll watch over you. I'm grateful for what God did for me through my parents. As I tried to follow them, because I'm a different place than I would have been had they not guided me. Do you ever think about where you'd be if you didn't have parents? If you have parents who tried to guide you, do you ever think about where you might be if they hadn't been the ones in your life? If they hadn't told you what to do and helped you and sometimes disciplined you? When I think about where I might be, I don't like that. Now, when you're younger, you don't see that, but it's good. What I'm saying is obeying parents is good for the person, for the child. He says they'll even talk to you. The commandments, the instructions from parents will even talk to you. Did you ever think about doing something, maybe even younger, maybe, and something that somebody has told you, your parents have told you, or maybe even someone else, and you think about doing that and all of a sudden it hits your mind, and there's a memory of a scripture or of an instruction or direction, in fact, sometimes you don't want it because you want to do what you want to do. And God pops it in your mind and you say, wait a minute. And you remember it. And they stand up and they talk to you. You hear those words coming back to you and it helps you make a wise choice because you've been listening to those instructions. That's true about anything from God. He says they're a light. They're a lamp and a light to our feet. They're a reproof for discipline. And for the way of life. So what I'm suggesting is, as you read this, obeying your parents in the Lord is good for the kid, for the child. By the way, do you ever outgrow parents? I've discovered I lost my parents when I was pretty young, but I miss them. But I still love them, still like them, still grateful for them. I discovered that as you get older, your relationship, if you live long enough and your children live long enough, changes when they become more adult. I still remember our oldest daughter was eager to get out of the house and graduating high school. She went to Point Loma College in San Diego. She was chomping the bits, if you will, to get out. I still remember not too long after she called to ask Dad about some stuff that she wanted to know about. It's amazing how much Dad, how much she decided Dad had something to say to her after all. She was a good girl, I'm not saying that, but just I still remember that call, that first call to ask about some advice that she had not asked before because she had seen things differently and she realized there's some things she needed to know. And so it's good for the child. Secondly, under that area, it's good, it is right for the parents. It is right for the parents. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Obedient children make happy parents. They bring joy to the parents. They make joy, make them glad. I mentioned some of the things about my kids. I'm glad we did what we did. I'm glad we set standards. I'm glad we told them they couldn't go certain places. Because my life, as I watch them grow, is so much better as I see who they become because of our standards. And now, as adults, which all our kids are, they seem to appreciate the things we set earlier. And they discover that. So when you obey your parents, it's for their benefit. He said, a wise son makes a father glad. Well, a wise son or a wise daughter want to obey his parents. And when you obey them, you bring joy to your parents. Is that all right? Is it all right to make your parents happy? Is it all right to make our Heavenly Father happy? Our Heavenly Parent? Yeah. And so when we do, when we obey their instructions. And notice that all of this is in the Lord, because when the parents in the Lord and instructing in the Lord, they're guiding in the right path. Unbelieving parents will have difficulty doing some of this, but it's good for the parents. And we will rejoice. The last thing on that area is, it is good, it is right for the community. For the community. What I'm suggesting is, teaching our children and children obey the parents is profitable for society as a whole. I believe that one of the problems we face today in this country is that we have increasingly, and sometimes it's not a person's fault, but increasingly we have children who are not being disciplined by the Lord or guided by parents. Especially in families where the dad is no longer present. I think we're paying a price for that. When children obey their parents, I believe, and science think about it, we have a better society as a whole. We have a better community. For a child who's learned to obey his parents can also learn to be a better citizen of the country and to be under the direction and discipline of other people. Sometimes I've known of individuals who never learned to be under the direction of a parent or submit to them. When they try to find a job, they don't keep it very long because they can't come under a boss. And that's part of our culture right now, I think. Part of the problem is you don't like the way the boss, or whether it's male or female, doesn't matter. And the boss says, this is what I want you to do and the way you want to do it. And you say, I don't like that. But they never learn from their parents to obey, to be under discipline. So when the boss says do it, they bail out. I've known some individuals in my lifetime who have never settled down on a job very long because they never learned to be under direction from someone else. And if we don't learn to be under the direction of someone else, especially under the Lord, we're in trouble. And so when he talks about obeying parents, I think it's good for the community as a whole. We will be better off. I'm not talking about abuse. All those things happen. I know they do sometimes in parents and children, and that's not right. I understand that. But the majority of the time, that isn't the issue. We need to stand together. So what I'm suggesting is, as I read through this scripture passage, I want to follow God's plan for children and parents because it's good for the child, good for the parents, and it's good for our society. We teach them to obey. Because when I learn to obey, and I learn to... See, sometimes when I learn to obey parents, it also helps me learn to obey God. Because I'm learning that it's important to do that. And important to obey God even when I don't like what He says. You don't tell me. You haven't had times when you didn't like what He said. There are times you want to say, no, God, I don't want to hear that. But you find out when you do what He says, it works right. It comes out good. It comes out better than what we thought along the way. I want to go back to the beginning. If you want this to happen in your life, it starts by being in the Lord. By knowing Christ and yielding your life to Christ and saying, God, help me to live for you each moment of every day as best I can. Not perfection. I'm not talking about that. None of us do it perfectly. None of us follow Jesus as close as we'd like. But we can grow in it. We can learn in it. And find out it's a wonderful joy of living in obedience to the Savior. Because everything God asks for us, ultimately, is for our benefit. Everything God asks for us in the Scriptures and instructions from God's Word is always for our benefit, as well as for the glory of Christ and the cause of the kingdom. It'll always be better. And so I pray that today you'll come and say, God, help me be an obedient child of yours, and then to be obedient to my parents if I'm under my parents at this point. Let's bow together. And as we pray, as we think about it, if you don't know Jesus, my prayer is that you give your heart to Christ. You yield your life to Him as Savior and Lord, admitting you need Him. And you cannot live out the quality of life without Jesus. So would you ask Him to come and live in your heart if you've never done that and receive Him? Secondly, as a believer in Christ, are there any areas that in which you know you're out of line with what God wants? Is there any area where you're being disobedient to the Heavenly Father? If so, now's the day to say, Lord, help me get this straight with you now and line my life up with you and to celebrate. If you're a young person, I pray that you commit yourself today to say, Lord Jesus, I will obey my parents, especially in the Lord. I will be instructed by them. I will learn from them. Thank you, Lord. You know it of our hearts and our lives. You know what has to happen inside us today. And I thank you that you're talking to us individually. You know where we stand with you and what changes you're trying to make in us. Lord, I pray that if there's any soul without Jesus, this will be the day when they choose to let you come and live in their life. Lord, decisions about following you in any way, we ask you to guide it and help us to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand.